This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Raj, I need to see the calls right now because I made a promise. And as you know, I'm always good to my word. I said I was going to get to a call right off the top of the second hour because I fell so in love with the dulcet tones of my own mellifluous voice that I forgot about the callers. I forgot about the fan, Raj. Now, for someone like you, that's obvious. That's, you know, you and Brendan give everyone your hi-hat. But I am a man of the people. Sean in Puerto Rico, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, good afternoon. Huge fan. How are you?
Sir. Good. How are you doing? Go ahead. Wait, you're not supposed to say how good. Are you. Right, it's Memorial Day. I'll let it slide. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll let it slide. Nick, I'm a huge fan, but I agree with you. I think it might be over Wednesday night. My question to you is, in the offseason, does a Bradley Beal make a difference, or do you think a top-name free agent is going to upset the team chemistry?
No, I think you need to add.
I'll wait for your answer.
Yeah, you need to add top-end talent. The Knicks have shown the basketball world, although I don't think beyond a shadow of a doubt or a reasonable doubt, but I think they've encouraged the basketball world that the culture is now healthy there. Leon Rose and Worldwide Wes and Tom Thibodeau have done a magnificent job. There's no two ways about it. But Dolan will figure out a way to mess it up, or at least many basketball stars might be thinking that, right? Must be like, this is like a year so far that they, you know, like, let me see what happens here. Listen, KD and them were, you know, everyone thought they were going to the Knicks. They were like, yeah, we really want New York, but not with this dude. We'll go over here to Brooklyn. So if you can get someone like Bradley Beal, and in my opinion, Bradley Beal is at best the second best player on a championship team, and he's tremendous. I love Bradley Beal. It's just that's how gangster it is to win an NBA championship. So, yeah, it's really, you got to be the players who are best players on championship teams, almost without exception, are like in the inner sanctum of greatest players who've ever touched a basketball. Right? Like every now and then, Dirk Nowitzki, who's not quite in the inner sanctum, but super great, with a perfect team around him in the absence of a, the Heat were a super team, but they hadn't really figured it out yet, gets one. One. Isaiah Thomas, one of the all-time great point guards, with a great defensive team around him. When the Celtics and Lakers were in decline before Jordan had Pippen, you can grab a couple. But usually, like when you look at who's won all the championships, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, Magic, Kareem, Bird. Like, you're talking about the innermost saint. Then occasionally a guy like Moses Malone, who's also right there, grabs one. Hakeem grabs a couple. You got to be crazy, crazy great. Bradley Beal is, to me, at best, the second best player on a team like that. But the Knicks need a guy like that. Understand, Bradley Beal on the Knicks team still is far away from a championship, but at least you've taken a step. Meantime, Lakers took a step back with AD's injury. You know, he comes down with a groin strain. And even though he hadn't scored a lot that game, I remember there was a graphic, he'd scored after this graphic was shown, it was like 6 points. It was pretty, you know, it was deep into the game already for him to be sitting on 6 points after he had a couple monster games. But the Lakers were still, to me, in control of the game, and I was confident they were going to win that game. AD goes out, the Suns grab the lead, they extend the lead, they never look back. It was a different team, the Lakers. And that Kuzma play at the basket, I mean, like, you know, oh, God, they need a guy to finish. AD can do that. There's no one else on the team, really, who can. Not to mention AD's defensive presence, but groin strains usually get worse and worse, not better and better. If I'm the Lakers, I'm holding AD out of a game five. I know you're playing with fire there. What if the Lakers could somehow steal game five anyway? Probably not. Probably you go down 3-2. But I'd like to give AD the better part of a week to get that right and then come back. And I have confidence if he can play, LeBron's not going to let him lose a game six. And now you're in a game seven. And again, LeBron James, like, it's a game seven. What's going to happen? The team with LeBron will win. I'm not sure the Lakers are done. AD's just got to be able to stay on the court for 25 minutes at 80% of himself. And then the Lakers can win this thing. LeBron at the post-game presser talking about adjusting without AD.
Well, obviously you have a game plan going into a game, how you want to execute offensively and defensively. And, you know, the one thing that you can't predict if one of your, you know, focal points go down. And obviously, you know, that was big for our team, and being able to try to adjust on the fly after having a game plan was challenging for us. And but more importantly, you know, the health of AD is what's most important for our ball club.
Yeah. No, by the way, before I even get to Chris Paul, Raj, put the calls up on the screen there. You think I'm playing games? Because Chris Paul also with a bad shoulder. You know, Coach Monty Williams wanted to hold him out. Listen to what Chris Paul had to say about that after the game.
Just understand it was an afternoon game, and I have a couple more days of rest. That's the only way they say I can treat what's going on is to by resting. And so I'm just glad that me and Coach got the relationship where we can have that conversation. And we talked about it. Told the guys, I said, I don't know if it'll be 2 minutes. I don't know if it'll be 32 minutes, but I feel like I got to try to give you what I got.
And he did, and it was enough in the face of AD's injury. Frank in Chicago, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Big Max, love you. Thank love you, your show. Love you and Stephen A. in the morning. Yeah. Hey, Chris Paul, I think he's great, but don't you think he's overrated? I mean, all these guys are like, oh, he's the greatest floor general ever. Come on, man. I mean, I'm 38. I grew up watching Timmy Killer cross over Hardaway. Doc Rivers, Greg Anthony, your guy from New York.
Well, listen, yeah, he's better than all the guys you just mentioned. He's better than all those guys. Chris Paul's better than, Greg Anthony was a solid point guard. Who else did you mention before Tim Hardaway? And then Tim Hardaway was excellent. Chris Paul's better than all those guys. And here's the thing. Is he overrated? Maybe. He's only 6 feet tall. And because the basket is 10 feet up in the air, the NBA selects out for size. Bill James once wrote something about this. If you took, you know, if you're 6 feet tall, what percentage of six-footers in the world play in the NBA? Like, to start with the premise that almost everyone, it's barely hyperbole to say everyone on earth who can play in the NBA is playing in the NBA. There's enormous financial incentive to do so. It's a fun sport. You're not going to wind up with, you know, CTE or, like, crippled the way you can in the NFL or really high-risk sport like boxing or the UFC or, you know, MMA. And you're a star. You're not wearing a helmet. Everyone knows you're an endorser of stuff. You can play forever. Who wouldn't want to play in the NBA, right? There's huge, like, it's so competitive. But what percentage of six-footers are playing in the league? Almost none, right? If you're 6 feet tall, the odds of you playing in the NBA basketball are like almost zero. But if you look at seven-footers, it's something like 18% of all people 7 feet tall are in the NBA. Something crazy like that, right? It selects out for height. So if Chris Paul's 6 feet tall, he's at a disadvantage. And he's so great, he's been able to overcome it to become one of the all-time greats. But where he is on that list is maybe not as high as some people think. Because he's contemporaries with Steph Curry. Steph Curry's led a team to multiple conference finals, at least. Chris Paul's never led a team to a conference finals. He's been the emotional leader of a team that was really a James Harden, Mike D'Antoni, Daryl Morey team. And maybe, you know, I believe had he been healthy, he would have won a championship that year because Chris Paul's a super great player. But that's not really a Chris Paul team. Like Steph Curry's Warriors were Steph Curry teams. Whether or not they would have won championships without KD or without injuries to LeBron's, you know, second and third best players, that's separate. But at least they were in the conference finals constantly with Steph. You know, James Harden has made deep playoff runs, and I'm on him for not making deeper ones. But John Stockton, short point guard, two finals appearances. Isaiah Thomas, two finals wins. I'm talking about short point guards. Steve Nash, conference finals, Steve Nash-led team. Like, these guys did that. Chris Paul has yet to do that. And Kyrie Irving has a championship, and Steph has multiple, and It's not like his contemporaries who aren't that big haven't done it. No, he and Damian Lillard, by the way, love everything about those dudes. Like, I'm such a big Chris Paul, such a big Damian Lillard fan. But that can't stop me from stating the obvious, which is for all the kind of championship sense that we have about those guys, they have yet to make deep playoff runs, either one of them. Primo in South Central, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. What's up, Primo?
Oh, I want to say something later about Stephen A. I'm upset with him anyway about getting on Kawhi so much. But what I really call to say is that, you know, a generational piece of advice that I want to give to the Clippers, and I'm a Laker fan, you, being a black guy especially, you cannot frown up and growl and raise your fist like a black power thing. You cannot give the referee and the fans that kind of attitude and think that you're going to get a call to go your way if there is a benefit of the doubt. You're losing before the series even starts with the Mavs and with Luka.
But the Clippers are going to win the series.
You got to be smart. You got to be smart.
Primo, the Clippers
are going to
win the series.
Yeah. Well, you gotta be smart, see how the referees are calling the game, and you just have to let your skill and your talent outweigh how tough you are. Like you're not in the hood. You're not at a
who are you referring to now? The Clippers?
Yeah, I'm talking about the Clippers.
But Primo, it would have been good before the Luka injury, what you're saying. But Primo, right now, the Clippers are in control. Now, you wanted to talk about Stephen A. and Kwame. I'll say this about Kwame. I'm going to talk about it, Primo, because I can't go on forever with you right now. But let me say this about Kwame. Kwame is a proud guy. It's very obvious he's a proud man and a family man. And when you're ridiculed, that's a human being. People, oh, come on, it's like it's sports and that's what happens. You put yourself out there, you can be held up to ridicule. But when you are, you're a person who has to actually deal with that. And he didn't like it. He didn't like being an object of ridicule. And by the way, he played 12 years in the league. That's a long time. That's a successful, make $60 million plus dollars, you play 12 years, you had a successful career. But by the standards of the number one overall pick in the draft, it wasn't successful. Not by those standards. I know Jalen Rose said, let's retire the word bust, but that's, you know, been around forever. That's a bust. By first overall pick standards, there's no other way to describe that. It's a successful career, very successful, $60 million plus dollars, 12 years. But based on expectations of your draft position is why people were getting on Kwame. And by the way, I was in D.C. hosting Around the Horn when he was in D.C. with Jordan. And I used to see in the locker room, like, Jordan, I thought, had a deleterious effect on Kwame's career. Like, there were certain kinds of leaders that young people will respond to. Not every leader is for every young person. And I thought Jordan, just observing the dynamic, was the wrong guy for Kwame. I didn't think he was building him up. I thought he was spending too much time tearing him down. That's my opinion. Kwame could agree with it, disagree with it. That's his prerogative. But I'll tell you a quick story, and then I want to get back to the NBA. Now I'm trying to remember which fighter this was. There was a fighter who was going to get a title shot at Roy Jones back in the day, late 90s, early 2000s, I think late 90s. And I made a comment on Friday Night Fights. I was the boxing analyst. And I said, and he was ringside for a Roy Jones fight because he was going to be Roy's next opponent. And Brian Kenny, who hosted the show, I was the analyst, said, hey, you know, he's scouting Roy for his next fight. And I said, that's the safest place for that fighter. And I'm trying to remember who it was for, you know, during a Roy Jones fight, is in the stands. Ha ha, right? Because, like, Roy is an overwhelming favorite. Of course, he's going to win. And that fighter saw me at a little fight card in the Bronx or uptown. No, not in the Bronx. Maybe it was uptown somewhere. I forgot where it was in New York. But I was there and he was there. And he approached me. And he was mad. And I was like, come on, man. You're going to fight Roy. You're the underdog. You know, I get paid to make comments on that. And his point was, yeah, but you were making a joke about me. I was like, that's part of the game. And he's like, well, that's fine. But I'm the dude you made the joke about. Like, I have hard feelings about that, basically. And I saw his point. he wasn't going to let me off the hook in that interaction. Like, oh, no, it's okay. Hey, it's all good. And you can go around feeling good about yourself. You're willing. It was low cost for you to toss off a joke about me. But it's a high cost to me. And he was right. He wasn't wrong about that. That doesn't mean, just because Kwame could have a point about that, that people are going to stop using the word bust or stop making fun of some players. That's going to continue to happen. But the object of the ridicule is going to feel a certain kind of way about that. Of course they are. Especially if they're proud men and family men. And it absolutely has an effect on me when Kwame talks about his kids, like hearing stuff like that. I hear him. It does seem to me that Stephen A's point is that it's not personal with him, but it probably feels personal to Kwame. And Kwame turns it around and, to me, gets kind of personal in the attacks back. That's how I see that whole situation. Celtics fan arrested, by the way, after allegedly throwing a water bottle at the Nets' Kyrie Irving. Kyrie came into the series or into the game at in Boston. They were, you know, the Nets on the road at Boston, and said he hopes there's no subtle racism. And so people's, you know, antenna were up. And, of course, we saw what happened. A fan spat on Trae Young. That fan is lucky that Trae Young didn't press charges. A fan dumped popcorn on Russell Westbrook. Westbrook looked like he wanted to go get the dude or at least have security get him. And I don't blame him. They should press charges. That's a physical violation. So you'd think fans would be on their best behavior after Kyrie, like, put everyone on notice. Hey, I experienced subtle racism there. That's what you can infer from what he said. And after what happened with Trae Young and Russell Westbrook, because the fans were caught. Now, Kyrie starts by rubbing his foot on the logo, right? Center court. And people are probably irate about that, Celtics fans. But what's crazy about it is, with all the attention, the fan still throws a water bottle at him. Fans should be arrested. Not just, like, the NBA can't arrest people. What they can do is ban them for their arenas, stuff like that. And that's good. They should. But then it's up to the legal system. Like, you know, press charges. Kyrie, press charges and make an example out of the guy. And let him face the legal consequences, which he should. I thought the guy who had the best take on all this was KD. Listen to what KD said after the game. I mean, Kyrie spoke too, but I thought KD said it perfectly. Listen to KD about this incident.
Fans got to grow up at some point. I know that being in the house for a year and a half with the pandemic got a lot of people on edge, got a lot of people stressed out. But when you come to these games, you got to realize, man, these men are human. You know, we not animals. We not in a circus. You coming to the game is not all about you as a fan. So have some respect for the game. Have some respect for these human beings. And have some respect for yourself. Your mother wouldn't be proud of you throwing water bottles at basketball players or spitting on players or tossing popcorn. So grow the f*** up and enjoy the game. You know, it's bigger than you.
That was perfectly put by KD. I thought, you know, grow the expletive up. He should have taken the total adult high road, but I hear, you know, people curse. Have some respect for yourself. Your mother wouldn't want you throwing water bottles at basketball players. Not if she raised you right, she wouldn't. That's exactly right, perfectly put by KD. By the way, the fighter I was talking about was David Telesco. Pretty sure it was Telesco. Was it Lou Duval? No, I think it was Telesco. And he approached me. There was a fight. I think it was in the Bronx. There was a fight. And maybe if Telesco's listening, he'll call and maybe he remembers. But it was David Telesco was the fighter. Hey, come on, David. This is what we're doing. He's like, yeah, but I'm the dude you're talking about. I respect that. He's right. Of course he's going to feel that way about it. Mitch in New Jersey, I know you want to talk about the Clippers. You have 30 seconds.
How's it going, Max? Happy Memorial Day.
No, you're not supposed to. No, not happy Memorial Day. You're hoping I'm enjoying the time off. I don't have time off, but that people can enjoy the time off, yes. But, you know, people, especially in our culture now, they're looking, oh, did you say something I can jump on? It's not happy Memorial Day. We have this day to remember, you know, fallen heroes. So it's not, but I get the sentiment. Go ahead, Mitch.
I stand corrected.
No,
it's
okay.
If you love your work, it's not work. I'm okay. I just need my time off from work.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mitch got that far. That's farther than he usually gets. Or further. Further than he usually gets. I guess we're not measuring distance there. Measuring time, would it be farther or further? The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.